This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 2. And I want to read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2. The Word of God reads, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. If the Lord would be our helper this morning, I'd like to speak to you concerning the subject of the wise men. Concerning the subject of the wise men. Whenever we read an adjective in the Word of God that describes somebody, the thought should cross our mind to study why the Scriptures refer to this person as being that way. Whenever we read the title that's given to the man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, whenever we read a man that's titled in the Scriptures as being a rich young ruler, you and I should ask ourselves, why does the Scripture refer to him as being rich? Not only was it because he had many possessions, but if you'll learn that lesson, what you'll learn about him being called rich is he was called rich because he loved those possessions. He loved them. He coveted them. He was young. He was immature. He was a person that wasn't an old man. He was a rich young ruler. There's a reason why those identifying marks are given about this man. And they're important that you and I know why they're being called, or why he was called those two titles. He was rich and he was young. Well, here we have some people that are identified as being wise men. Wise men. Why does the Scripture refer to these men as being wise? Is the question that I would like to approach this morning is, why does the Word of God refer to these men as being wise men? Now, before I look at five reasons why I believe that the Scripture refers to them as being wise men, I first want to get a couple of myths out of the way. And you say, "Brother Will, why do you even approach some of the myths? We know that some of the things that go on in society today concerning this time of year are not entirely accurate." In case there's an ingrainment in your mind and a picture in your mind about these wise men, I'm going to go on and get it out of the way before I start. Because even I have some pictures in my mind that I've even had to struggle with things throughout my life because they've just been portrayed so much. First of all, there's nowhere in the Word of God where the Scripture teaches us that there were three. There's not one place in the Word of God that you will read where the Scripture says that there were three wise men. And you say, "Well, why come every time you read about the three wise men?" It just got carried on down the road. And that's all well and good. Could have been three. I think there were more. But nevertheless, the Scripture refers to these men as being wise men and never calls them the three wise men. Another thing that is a myth concerning these particular men was there's not one place in Scripture where you'll see them referenced as Jewish men on donkeys. You won't read them being identified as being Jews. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says that they came from the east. From the east. It's still the same east that you and I refer to today. From the east of where they were currently located in Jerusalem. It's from the east. They were from Persia. They were from the Babylonian Empire. They were from that portion of the world. They were not Jews. The Scripture does not refer to them as being Jews. You say, could they have been Jews that were left behind? Could have been, but the Scripture never refers to them as being Jews. Never shows them, never says that they're riding on donkeys. That myth has just been ingrained in a lot of people's mind. The Scripture never says, this is the last myth I want to touch on, the Scripture never teaches us that they came to where baby Jesus was lying in a manger. Never, not once, will you read that those wise men came and that they presented those gifts to Jesus while he lied in the same manger that his mother put him in after he was born. And you say, Brother Will, does that mean that we need to pick at the local nativity scene? No, it does not. Those things are innocent enough, and if somebody wants to portray that, that's all well and good, and I'm sure it's in good faith. But nevertheless, a myth is a myth, and the Word of God is the Word of God. And if those things don't line up, I need to get those things out of your head before we even look at why these men are called wise men. As a matter of fact, the reason why I mentioned that last one is that they never visited the manger, is that the Scripture says that I just read to you, when they came into the house where the Lord Jesus was. Didn't say when they came into the barn. It says they came into a house. They came into a house. So knowing that, and I hope I've gotten it all out of the way so that we understand that there's some things about these wise men that are important, but the myths are not, because they're myths. That's not what's important about the wise men. Well, see, what is important about the wise men is what the Word of God teaches. And the first thing that the Word of God teaches about these wise men was that they were familiar with the Word of God. They were familiar with the Word of God. And you say, Brother Will, you said over and over and over again that the Jews were the ones who were blessed to be able to have the Word of God. And you just said that these men weren't Jews. So did they have the Word of God or didn't they? Let me tell you this right now. There was a time that the Scripture teaches us that the Jewish people were in a place called Babylon. That they were sent there because they were in captivity. The Lord had suffered them to be overcome by a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taken to a faraway land. And there are certain scriptures that are written from that faraway land. You go and you read the book of Daniel, and what you're reading is a scripture that was written while they were in captivity. The man Daniel was a man that was taken into Babylonian captivity. He was taken over there by Nebuchadnezzar. So was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, those three Jewish boys that went over there and stood for what they believed and stood for what they had been taught from their youth up. Though they recorded those events from a time period when they were not in Israel. And so what you have is that you don't just have a select group of people, the only people who had access to it. There were others who had access to the Word of God. And those others who had access to the Word of God were those who dwelled in the land where it was written. And Daniel recorded those words while he was over in the Babylonian captivity. He recorded them in the presence of the Medo-Persians. Pray for me this morning. My voice is about to go. And I have no idea why. I was fine until I got here this morning, except for I told Allison last night that maybe being out in the wind yesterday may have caused some of it to come upon me. But Lord willing, I'll get through today. And it won't matter again until next week. Nobody really wants to hear me talk from week to week anyway. And you may not want to hear it on Sunday. But nevertheless, if the Lord bless me to get rid of it during the week, then I'll have it ready to go next Sunday. But these men were familiar with the Scripture. And you say, how do you know that they knew the Word of God? How do you know that they knew the words of the prophecy? We read that when they came to this particular place, and they came to Herod. The Scripture says that they came to Herod and said, we seek where the young child is, that we may worship him. That all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod, and he goes for the scribes. And he asks those scribes, he says, when or where was he supposed to be born? And they reference the Old Testament book of Micah in the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse in the land of Bethlehem of Judah. But who does he go to ask when? Did he go back to the scribes? Did he go back to those same scribes who had referenced the 5th chapter of the book of Micah in the 2nd verse? Did he say, when did that star appear? Did he come to those men who had shown up on his doorstep? To say, when did the star appear that you saw in the east? And the fact that they saw it in the east didn't mean that they were looking east when they saw the star. It meant that they were in the east when they saw the star appear. And in order for them to be looking for a star, they had to be familiar with the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel in the 24th verse, that's otherwise known as the 70-week prophecy. And no, I'm not about to try to preach that this morning. But I'm telling you that a man that's familiar with this word can take those verses and can derive the birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ or whereabouts so that they will be looking for His coming. Wise men were looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we read in the first chapter of the book of John, we read that Philip went to Nathanael and said, "We have found Him that is born King of the Jews." How did they even know to be looking for Him? They were wise men that were familiar with the Word of God, and they knew that there was one that was going to be born whose name was Jesus, and who was going to save them from their sins, and who was going to deliver them from the captivity they were in the midst of. They're wise men. Who was another one that's mentioned in the Word of God? Luke chapter 2 says there was one named Simeon who was in the synagogue. And what was he? Was he just blindly there, not under the impression that there was anything going to be there? He had an idea of when that child was going to be born. These particular men were familiar with the Word of God. Again, you can go back to that prophecy in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, the 24th verse. If you're interested in the notes that I've got on it thus far, I'll be glad to provide them to you. And I think that what it'll clearly show is that these men being taught by the man himself who recorded them were familiar with when this child was going to be born. These men were wise because they read the words of prophecy. I tell you, child of grace today, your title will be wise if you're familiar with these words that we've got before us this morning. The words of the Almighty God. The Apostle John said in Revelation chapter 1, "Blessed is he that readeth and that understandeth the words of this prophecy." And no, I know that people can say, "Well, that's just referring to the book of Revelation." No, I'll tell you, blessed is the man that readeth anything in this Word of God and that understandeth what God has given unto him. If you want to know why these men were called wise, it's because they believed with all their heart that the words that were penned in here were not written by man. Neither were they the opinions of man. For holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These are the words of the Almighty God. And anybody who applies himself to it will be considered wise here in this world. The book of Proverbs opens up in the 3rd and 4th verses. And the scripture says to understand wisdom. To understand wisdom in the 3rd verse. That's the reason why that particular book is written. To understand wisdom. One of the best places for a young child to go and read the Word of God is the book of Proverbs. So that they'll be wise in the ways of this world. That they'll be wise concerning spiritual things. Let me rephrase that. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I don't want you to leave here thinking that I'm just trying to get you wise in this world. I want you wise concerning spiritual things. And that's what this word will provide unto you. These people were called wise because they had applied themselves to the Word of God to the point that whenever they knew to be looking for that star that was in the east, they knew that something was going to be coming, that there was going to be a birth that they were going to follow, that they were going to go to. Whenever they saw that star in the east. The scriptures teach us that these men were called wise. They're wise men. They're wise men. I tell you, if there's something that I want my children to believe I am, I want my children to believe that I'm wise. So that whenever they need something, they'll have the confidence in me to be able to come to me and say, "I want to go to my father, go to my daddy, because he's going to give me wise words from the Word of God." I tell you, I don't believe that there's anybody here today who doesn't desire to help their children whenever they're in need. I don't think I'm standing before a group of people today where there's any question in my mind that you would intentionally mislead your child should they come to you. Don't you want to be prepared to give them an answer whenever they come to you from the source of wisdom itself, and that is the Word of God? I tell you that even the Scripture itself references the Lord Jesus Christ talks and said, if your child should come to you and ask you for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks you a fish, will you give him a serpent? And I tell you, the way that you can give them the bread, the way that you can give them the fish that they desire is to be wise in the words of God. To know wisdom. To know wisdom. I tell you, the charge is given unto the men today. To know wisdom and to be wise concerning this book. So that you can be not only that, but be what the rest of these characteristics are of these wise men. They were wise men. Scripture says that these particular men were familiar with the prophecy of Daniel because they knew of the birth that was coming forth. They knew to be looking for what they saw and for what they followed. And when Herod needed the source of the wisdom, he didn't go to those men. The scripture doesn't refer that he went back to those scribes who had the same scriptures. He went to those wise men and said, "When did the star appear? When did the star appear?" Because they had it. They understood it. They were wise in the Word of God. The second characteristic of men who the scripture defines as wise, is they sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. They sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. Do you know how many different definitions there are today of what people deem to be worship? Of what people believe with every ounce of their being is worship. But these particular men who God Himself and His Word calls wise, says they seek the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship Him. We have come to worship Him. You know, if you look up just a definition of the word worship, it means to show reverence and adoration for a deity. That's what worship is. Even the Lord Himself defined it in John chapter 4. Says, they that worship me. He tells us then what worship is. Those that reverence me. Those that adore me. Are they that worship me in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship me. And that's what I pray we've gathered here today to do. And that is to show reverence and adoration for our deity, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men who were called wise, says they didn't seek other reasons to come. They sought for the presence of Jesus. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I tell you, where Jesus dwells today, there's liberty under the truth of the gospel as it's proclaimed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There's liberty and freedom from the bondage of legalism that exists in this world. There's liberty at the house of God. They're called wise because they sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. You know, I had somebody come in my office the other day. And she came and she said, I need help with my child. She's lost all interest in church. She's been swayed by friends at school. She's lost all interest. She says, tell me, what does your church have for the youth? And I said, have a seat. Because what I'm about to tell you that we have for the youth is good for the youth, and it'll be good for you to help your child who is a youth. I said, what we have at the house of God is what the Lord gave the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the truth. We have the truth about who God is, about who Jesus Christ is, and about what He did for His people. And what we do is we gather together on Sundays and we gather the group together, child and adult alike, and we seek Jesus to learn about Jesus. You know, one of the things that I remember from a child, I remember from some of my earliest memories, was that I longed to be at the table where my parents sat. Do you remember being a child and being told you had to sit over there at that other table because the adults sit here? You know, it got better from the times that my daddy tells me about. My daddy says when they were little that they ate outside. And not only that, but they didn't even fix their plate until the adults were done eating. Not when they were done fixing their plates. When the adults were done eating, daddy said they would summon them in from outside and they'd come get fix their plate. And they'd say, all right, scoot it right on back out the door. You know, there's times have changed, have they not? Now you look at our Sundays and you look at the first ones to go through the line and it's the children. And no, I'm not advocating a change in that to return to the old past of us making the children eat outside. But nevertheless, it just shows you the way that things have changed. And I can remember that's all I want to do is be there at the table where everybody sits. And it doesn't mean that whenever we sit at our table at night, yes, we have a baby that would not eat until we finally fed him the same thing. I tell you what, that feeded, you know, you have to be careful what language you pick up from your children, because that's one thing that we're struggling with ours is them extra ED verbs and not using the proper tense. But until we fed him exactly what we were eating, he wanted to look on his plate and see the same thing was on ours, and then he started eating. But nevertheless, before then, he may not have eaten the same thing that we were eating, but we were all there together. And I tell you, where Jesus dwells, it's where His children are together. And these particular wise men sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship, not for the things of this world, for the purpose of worship. They're considered wise. If you're a man today and says, I want my children to look at me as if I'm wise, then you teach them the ways of this book. And you say, we worship this way because that's what this book teaches us. They seek the ways of Jesus, not the ways of this world. They find that the ways of the Lord are much better than the ways of this world. They said, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. I tell you, you'll be considered a wise man. No, you won't be considered wise in the ways of this world. You'll be considered wise by your family, wise by a spiritual definition of wise, if you seek the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. You know, if all we've got is a man to worship, we won't have a reason for gathering together. But whenever we focus upon Him, and the things that He has done for us, and the things He still continues to do for us. What a blessing it is to gather and worship unto Him. Not only does the Scripture teach us that these particular men were called wise because they were familiar with the Word of God and they sought Jesus for worship, Scripture teaches us that wise men are leaders. Wise men are leaders. You know, these men, they didn't just... The Scripture doesn't record that these particular men had to be made to go and do what they did. They led this charge to go on this trip, to go to the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were leaders with the things that they considered to be spiritually important unto them. You know, go with me back to the first chapter of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And let's look for a second here where we see that term again, wise men. And we'll see how the Lord defines wise men even in the Old Testament days unto Old Testament Israel. He says in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, he charged those tribes. He said, take you wise men. He told them, he said, take you wise men. And understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. He said, I charge you to take out wise men among you, to be your leaders. And you say, Brother Will, I don't have a trait in me. I'm just not a leader by nature. Well, you know, by nature, I'm not very nice. I can tell you what, you can come around me sometimes whenever somebody's rubbed me wrong. And by nature, I'll show you just how rude somebody can be. And some people say, you lifting yourself? No, I'm telling you, sometimes I can embarrass myself. By nature, I can be just as foul-mouthed as anybody that you want to hear out here in this world today. That is by nature, I can do those things. There's some things that by our nature we may not be. But by the spiritual graces of God upon us, we can be what the Lord has charged us to be. These wise men, the here that are outlined in the Old Testament, were considered wise and they were called out to be leaders. It doesn't mean you have to run for Congress. It doesn't mean that you have to be the mayor of your town. But I tell you, just on a minute scale, think about it, brethren here today, leaders of your homes. I tell you, a lot of people, whenever I go places, I usually preach doctrine whenever I go places. And you know, sometimes people wonder, you know, if I ever preach duty, any dutiful things. And you know, what I try to answer them is that, well, I like to leave that up for the pastor to do instead of just a passer through trying to teach those dutiful things. But I tell you, child of grace, today it's important that you listen to this charge that I make unto you today, fathers of your homes. If you want to be considered a wise man, it's time to step up and be a leader in your home concerning spiritual things. These people were called out. The Lord called them out and said, choose you out wise men among you to lead you. And I tell you, our homes today need wise men that are leaders in their particular home, that sit down with the Word of God at night, that are going to lead that study so that they can teach their children the truth. That's what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today needs, is leaders. And you know, you say, well, Brother Will, isn't it a bad situation when you got a bunch of chiefs and no Indians? It doesn't mean that every time we come together that we can't, that everybody's got to be a leader telling everybody else what to do and nobody can work together. That's not what I'm charging today. But I'm telling you that Scripture teaches you and us that wise men are leaders. The Lord, even if you're not a leader by nature, if you're applying yourself in this Word, the Lord's going to lead you by His providence to a place where you can exercise that role of leadership in a godly manner. And it may just be in your home, but I tell you, there's not a more important place for it to be than in your home. These men were called wise men. Why were they wise? Were they wise because they just, you know, a lot of people would hear what I've just said and said, well, Scripture teaches us to be meek and mild-mannered and things like that, and yet you're telling us to trumpet this role as being this leader. No, I'm not telling you to interject yourself in it. I'm just telling you to be willing to accept the role when the Lord gives it to you because you've rightly applied yourself. And when God's with you, He'll bless you in that role. He'll bless you in that role that He's given you to lead your family in a godly way. To lead your church whenever it comes time for the church to make a discretionary decision to be a leader in that particular role and to stand up with the word of the Almighty God and say with words of wisdom that this is right and that this is wrong. These men were wise men. Why were they wise? They were wise because they were familiar with these words. They were wise because they were ones who sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. They were wise because they took a leadership role. They got on what I believe to be their camels. You know, there's some things that I believe about these wise men that you could say, well, Brother Will, that's just equally as mythical as those you've just said were wrong. But I can tell you this, that just a few little people on donkeys would not have created a stir in Jerusalem. I believe it was a charge of men upon camels that came in to town, and people knew they were from out of town and wondered, who is this that comes to stir up our city? I believe it took, they were leaders in that which the Lord had given them light to be able to do, and that light that they saw was a star afar off. I tell you, the Lord has given us light if we know the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And He's telling you to follow that star, to follow that light, to be a wise man. To be a wise man. Not only do we read that those who read the Scriptures and are familiar with the Scriptures are wise, and those who seek the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship, those who are leaders, I tell you, these men were wise because they knew when to flee the presence of wicked people. They knew when to flee the presence of wicked people. You know, I wish with all my heart, and one of my earnest prayers is for my children, that they're wiser in their discretion than their daddy was about fleeing the presence of people that are no good. And I don't stand before you somebody this morning that's just saying that a lot of the things I did was because I got caught up in the wrong crowd. It's because I was too stupid and too unwilling to just flee from the presence of a wicked arrangement whenever I was in the midst of it. Too sorry, too whatever label you want to put on it. I pray that my children are wiser. I pray that my children are able to do the same thing that these wise men did. These wise men have been told, Herod told them, he said that when you find him, come back to me. Whenever you tell me where he is, I can go and worship him also. I believe that that star led these wise men to Bethlehem. And then when that child was not still in Bethlehem, because after the 40 days of purification, after Mary's purification was complete and she had gone to Jerusalem, she went and offered those two turtle doves, and I believe they were already at Nazareth. And I believe that when they left Bethlehem, they went to Jerusalem. And they went to the place where she was to offer those turtle doves. These men knew what the law was. They knew where she had to go. And they went there, not seeing them. Herod sent them and said, but when you find them, bring them back to me. Or tell me where they are so that I may come and worship them also. But the Scripture says that whenever they had come to the presence of Jesus and had given him his gifts, that they left and went home another way because they had been warned of a dream of Herod's wickedness. And you say, well, Brother Will, maybe if I had some dreams, then I'd be willing to follow. Maybe if whenever I needed to flee a situation, if the Lord would just send me a dream. Do you know you've got better than a dream today? I'd hate to know that I had to rely upon a dream. First of all, I never remember what they are anyway. People talk all the time about what these weird dreams they've had. And I can remember a few, but I tell you, there's for every hour I've probably slept, there's about a millisecond of dreams for those hours that I've slept. I can't remember them. And so I'm thankful that I don't have to rely today upon a dream to know whenever I need to flee the presence of wickedness. These men were sent a dream by God. But nevertheless, they knew and they followed the light that God had given them. And you have the light of the Holy Word of God this morning to know what is right and what is wrong. You have the moral law which is written upon your heart to know when to flee. And there's a fight or flee instinct that exists within us. Whenever you feel that flee, when that is to flee the presence of wickedness, God will bless you to be delivered in the midst of that. You'll be a wise person. You'll be a wise man to flee the presence of wickedness. To flee the things that the Lord would have you to not be present in the midst of. These men, they followed the light that God had given them. They knew how to exit the presence. So think about the wisdom of David. And how many times David was delivered from the sword of Saul. How many times that God delivered him out of his hand because he used the wisdom that God had given him to continue forward for the glory of the kingdom of God. The Lord blessed him to be able to come out of the midst to escape the sword of a king. And if the Lord will bless a man, to a little shepherd boy, to escape the sword of a king, He'll bless you in the things that you face out here in this world today to know when it's time to flee the presence of the wicked. I tell you, those things, I pray today, if you say, well, my children are grown, They're grown, and I tell you, those sort of prayers, they don't. There's other things that you pray for my children. If you think that you don't need to pray for yours anymore, you pray that mine would escape it, so that one of these days they wouldn't come up with something or come in contact with something that would prevent them from being a blessed part of the kingdom of God here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Pray for them. I tell you, the Lord has told us here why these men were called wise. They were wise because they knew the Scriptures. They were wise because they sought the presence of Jesus for the purpose of worship. They were wise because they were leaders. They were wise because they knew how and when to flee the presence of the wicked. Last reason. These men are called wise because they brought gifts to their Savior. They brought gifts to their Savior. And you say, well, Brother Will, we didn't put up a Christmas tree this year at the church. No, and I pray we'd not. And so, no, that's not what I'm charging you to do today. I'm not charging you to bring gifts to the house of God in the form of material gifts. That's not what I'm saying. The Lord, the Apostle Paul, says in Romans chapter 12, that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Think about that for just a second. He's saying here that it's not unreasonable for him to make these requests of you. It's not, these things aren't unreasonable for the Lord to call upon you to do. He's telling you to present yourself a living sacrifice. These men are called wise because they brought gifts unto the Lord. And you say, well, you think about this for a second. Most of the time when you get a gift from somebody, you're getting something that was not yours, and that somebody brings to you and gives you something that now it becomes yours. I usually, you know, we draw names and do this and that whenever we go down to Southeast Georgia for Christmas. And I usually don't ask for things. I usually don't take something and give it to somebody and then tell them to give it right back to me. You know, you could have a lot of regifting jokes about things like that. But nevertheless, that's not what we do whenever we generally think about gift giving here in terms of worldly things. But you think about this for a second. These wise men brought gifts unto the one who had given them the gifts in the first place. The Lord has given us everything that we have in this world today. All the gifts and the blessings that we have them because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from whence cometh the Father of lights. The Scripture has told us that the Lord is the source of all those gifts. And He's not asking you to give Him something that He didn't already have. What He's asking you is to manifest something that He's given you. And to present your gifts before Him. To present your gifts before Him. You ever thought about your good works here in this world? A lot of people want to know, you know, wonder where or what is the purpose of our good works? Why do we do good works? If you believe in predestination, if you believe in election, if you believe that you're going to go to heaven by God's grace and not by something that you do, why do you do good works? Go with me over to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to close here. I'm going to read a parable, which is a sermon in and of itself, but I'm going to summarize it down very quickly. Because I want to look and see what the Lord does with our good works. What He does with the things that we present to Him. It says in verses 26 through 29, and He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. His kingdom is likened unto our labors in the kingdom of God. And the Lord has sown the Spirit, and has given us the means to bring forth the fruit unto Him. And this particular scripture teaches us that when we bring forth that fruit, that the Lord takes that sickle. You know, a lot of times I've said before, it's easier to teach a lot of these parables to farmers because they know what sickles are. They know what certain equipment is that's mentioned in the Word of God. But it's what they use to harvest the wheat. It's what they use to harvest. It's got a blade on the end of it and it cuts. And this particular scripture says that the Lord takes that sickle and He harvests that fruit. Why does He harvest it? Does He need fruit? Does our God in heaven need our labors? You know, I'm thankful to believe in the truth this morning that the Lord is not dependent upon me. for His will to be achieved in the terms of eternal salvation. We understand that this morning. We know that the Lord procured that and obtained it for every blood-bought child of His. He's not saying that He's taking your labors and He's harvesting your fruit, and every time that you're able to make a convert, He takes that sickle and He brings forth that fruit so that He's got another child in heaven. No. It means that He's taking your works here in this world and He's feasting upon them. We sing a song that says that Jesus smiles. You believe that today? You believe that Jesus in heaven, whenever He sees you do something that is glorifying unto Him, that He smiles upon that effort, literally smiles? I believe with every ounce of my being. Just as you, whenever you see one of your children do something, and you're so overcome with emotion, sometimes we see our, you know, one of our, you know, whenever we our third child was born, whenever Lila was born, John Nathan, it just turned his world upside down. I mean, everything, all his mommy time just went bam, gone. He had a tough time dealing with it. And so whenever with Samuel, we were blessed to bring him along. We said, John Nathan's just going to fall out. And one of the things that's been so glorious to see is to see the one that you're worried about being so jealous do good things under that. If he's crying and you look, he's the first one in his crib with him, over there sitting with him, nurturing him and taking care of him. I smile. I say, look at what God is blessing that child to do. I tell you, I believe with every ounce of my being that my Father in heaven takes that sickle and harvests that fruit and He rejoices in it. The Scripture says that whenever they came and they brought these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that they came into His presence and they rejoiced. It's a good time in the Lord whenever we see our children doing it, and the Lord smiles upon it as well. These men were considered wise because they brought their works, they brought their gifts unto the presence of the one who blessed them to be able to have it. There's reasons why these men were called wise. These are reasons why. And there's important reasons why. That's important reasons why we need to charge ourselves that if the Lord is going to define somebody as being wise, I want it to be that the Lord looks upon me and believes that I'm a wise person. I don't want to be looked upon as being foolish by my Father in heaven. May the Lord bless us to do these things that these wise men did. May the Lord bless us to know the Scriptures, to seek the place of Jesus for the purpose of worship, to be leaders where we need to be leaders, to know when we need to flee and how to flee, and to bring gifts before our Father in heaven. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
When the world my heart is rending, when this anguish storm of care, my heart calls to God ascending, find a refuge from despair. I love Jesus, hallelujah. I love Jesus, yes I do love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. There's a hand of mercy near me, though the waves of trouble roar. There's an hour of rest to cheer me when the joys of life are o'er. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. Oh, to rest in peace forever, joined with happy souls above, where no foe my heart can sever from the Savior whom I love. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. This a hope that shall sustain me till life's pilgrimage ages past. Tears may vex and trouble.